You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of James, chapter 2, the letter of James, chapter 2, reading verse 14, James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And our subject this evening is the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. Well, this letter of James has been tremendously challenging to many of us, myself included. And, well, the bad news, if we can put it that way, is that he doesn't let up. There are many challenging things that remain in this letter, and particularly for us to consider this evening. Now, so far, James has been talking about the necessity of acting out that which we hear from the Word of God. He has exhorted us to be not just hearers of the word, but doers also. Not just hearers, not just people who come and sit and hear the word and then just forget about it as soon as they leave a place of worship. If we are just hearers, if we are just that type of people, then our religion is vain, James has stated. It is powerless, so to speak. And so he's spoken about a number of things. He's spoken about the importance of bridling the tongue, about being impartial toward people who come into the church, not pandering to wealth, not esteeming riches or status. He's saying the people of God are not meant to be like this. And these really are things that perhaps we would not think of as great sins. We do them and we don't even register that these things are wrong. But James is very clearly drawing our attention to these things. He's saying, take heed of these things. There is no small sin. That is what he is saying, the thrust of his whole argument. You break one part of the law, you break all of it. Do you realize that? Don't just pride yourself thinking, oh, I've never done that. I've never committed adultery. I've never lied. I've never stolen. You break one part, you break all of it. There is no such thing as a small sin, as a trivial thing to God. We must live in obedience to God. It doesn't earn our salvation, but we live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord, because we understand all that the Lord has done for us. So the general thrust, really, of the letter is that we must live out our profession. And this is exemplified in the following verses for us this evening. Well, let's look at verse 14, because this will set in motion a very challenging set of verses for us and things that we must think about, every single one of us. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, we have to say that faith, of course, is essential to salvation. James is not saying that we don't need faith to be saved. He's not saying that. Faith is essential to salvation. There are several times in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus Christ heals people and he says to them, thy faith hath made thee whole. The woman with the issue of blood in the Gospel of Mark, for example, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Faith is essential. Faith, by the way, does not give us any merit. It's not a show of our spiritual strength. It's a sign of our weakness, faith. Faith is a receiving grace. Faith enables us to receive the grace of God, the salvation of God. It's like somebody who's very ill, on his bed. He can't move or do anything. All he can do is open his mouth and be fed. And that is what sustains him. Open his mouth and somebody else has to feed him. The opening of the mouth is not a show of strength, I'm sure you'll agree. It just receives something. And that is what faith is. Faith enables us to receive the grace of God. It doesn't show that we are strong. Oh, I've got tremendous faith. It's a receiving grace. But faith is essential for salvation. And James's words do not dismiss that or negate that in any sense. But James is saying that faith must be accompanied by something. It must come with something if it is true faith. If it's true faith, it won't be alone, as he goes on to say. There will be something that accompanies it, and that will identify it as true faith. And this is a very interesting thing for us to consider. And then he presents to us an illustration of this in verse 15, or an example. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Well, here we have an example of a man or a woman, an individual, who is in need, going without their daily provisions on a daily basis, it appears. And one person sees it and does nothing about it. Oh, he may say some reassuring words. Oh, be ye warmed, be ye filled. But he doesn't actually do anything to help that person. And so those words, really, they're empty. They're meaningless. They have no value because there is nothing to back those words up. Absolutely nothing at all. It's just empty speech. Be ye warmed and filled, but I'm not going to help you at all. I'm not going to meet your need. What doth it profit? Well, it profits nothing at all. And then that is followed by verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead. It's empty. It's meaningless if there is nothing to back it up. You may say that you have faith, but you never do anything to show that you have faith. It's just empty, meaningless words. Nothing backs it up at all. Faith should always come with evidence of faith, with works. Faith should never be alone, as it is described here in verse 17. It should never be just faith. There's faith and accompanying works. That shows that your faith is living. It's not a dead faith. If it's accompanied by works, it's a living faith. And this is so very important for us to understand. It must be accompanied. And then in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Well, it sounds fairly complicated, but the general gist of that verse, really, it's about how can faith be shown? How can we see faith, as it were? Well, faith, actual faith, you can't see faith. You can't see my faith in God. Faith is invisible. Faith cannot be seen. Faith in itself cannot be seen. So how can it be shown? How can faith be shown to others so that people can see you and say he has faith? And well, the challenge is in verse 18, show me thy faith without thy works. You say that you have faith. Well, how can you show your faith without ever doing anything, without thy works? I can't see your faith. It's invisible. So how do I know that you have faith? Can you show me it without actually doing anything? No, you can't. But then at the last part of the verse, I will show thee my faith by my works. The evidence of my faith is my work. That's the only way you can see my faith, by the things that I do. So therefore, we can conclude, or deduce rather, it's not time for conclusion just yet, but faith and works is essential, because works is the evidence of true faith. Faith and works, both essential, because works is the evidence of true faith. Well, I don't want to confuse you, but maybe one way that can help us to understand it is if we reverse it slightly. Think of an unbeliever, somebody who does not believe in God. He has this profession, I don't believe in God. Now, how can we know that he doesn't believe in God? Well, through his works, through the things that he does, through the things that he watches on the TV, through the things that he says. Maybe he swears, maybe he drinks, maybe he is unfaithful in all his relationships, maybe he's an angry person. He has no time for God. He spends all his time at work, his career, maybe even his family. You know that he's an unbeliever because of what he does, his works. That's the evidence of his unbelief. So now apply that to a believer. Then we start to understand it. In the same way, a believer, I have faith. How do I know you have faith? Well, by the things that I do, by my works. What kind of works does a believer engage in? What kind of works are an authentication of true faith? Well, James has been speaking about these things already. He's been speaking about impartiality. And it's interesting to note that the illustrations that he has given, or the things that he has warned against, seem to come in a church assembly context. Impartiality to people who come into the church. And the illustration that he gives in verse 4:15, if a brother or sister be naked, a brother or sister in the Lord must be speaking about. This is in the church. So many of the works of a Christian are localized in the local church. Indeed, I believe God has provided the local church for his people to show forth their works. We all come together into the church so that our works can be seen, so that we can be a light to this community, a city set on a hill. This is where the works of a believer will come in, the works of true faith. So we think about these things, the works that authenticate our faith, service in the church, in ministry, if you are equipped to do so, at the Sunday school, so many aspects of work in the Sunday school, even those menial tasks, standing at the gate, looking after the children, supervising them, picking them up, evangelism, cleaning the church building, stewarding, all those sorts of things. Are you that sort of person who sees there is a need in the church? You hear that there's something that needs doing in the church. And are you somebody who thinks, oh well, I wish them well with that. I wish them well in sorting that issue that they need. Or are you going to think to yourself, I can help? That's the evidence of true faith. You don't see your brothers and sisters languishing. You want to help them. Do you attend faithfully the church of God? That is a work in itself. Attending regularly, being at pains to make sure you attend every service. Somebody with dead faith somebody who doesn't have an active living faith. Well, maybe you might see him in the church, but only maybe once or twice a month when he hasn't got anything else to do, and if he feels like it. That's dead faith. Somebody with living faith, you will see the evidence. They'll be here every week. Only a dire emergency will take them away. Their faith in God is evidenced by what they do. They're always here. They're always attentive to the word of God. Faithful attendance. And then, of course, we have those works of character. It's not just what we do in the Christian life, it's who we are. We have the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the fruit of the Spirit as listed in Galatians chapter 5. Many of you know these off by heart. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on. All these things, are you showing forth these works in you? Are you patient? Are you long-suffering with people? That's the evidence of your faith. The sign that your faith is real. It's living. It's not a dead faith. It's not just a profession. Oh, I believe in God. No, there are works. Works that are essential to authenticate your faith. And this is a great challenge to every one of us. But it must be something that we take heed of and examine ourselves over. But well, we have verse 18, I will show thee my faith by my works. And then verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, this is very challenging. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Belief that God exists just on its own, that is dead faith. Many people, they come into a church and they don't understand what Christianity is all about. They just think that you just believe in God and that's it. You believe that God exists and then you will go to heaven. James is saying, oh, you believe in God? Well, the devils believe in God also. They're not going to go to heaven. The devils, they believe in God. And, well, to make things even greater, they tremble. Not only do they believe in God, they tremble. They know his power. They have, in a sense, some fear of God. Well, again, we think of Christ's ministry on earth and how many times when he would cast out demons, the unclean spirits would say to Christ, what have we to do with thee? We know who thou art, the Holy One of God. They knew, they believed in God, but we must have so much more than a belief in God. Those things will not save us. It's not just belief in God, it's faith in Christ. That faith that saves has to be centered on Christ. So many people, and increasingly nowadays, they believe in God. They believe that God has done this for me, God has done that for me, but they don't know Christ. They don't know his salvation. They don't understand what he has done on the cross. They don't have faith that because he died, we are forgiven. We go to heaven because of all that he has done. Nothing to do with us, nothing to do with our merits. Just because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. That is saving faith. Saving faith. Not just belief in Christ. In God, rather. We must believe in Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true saving faith. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. We must seek out Christ. We must understand who he is and know him. What is your standing with Christ? Do you truly know him? Do you truly know that your sins are washed and cleansed away? If you don't, Your faith is dead. Whatever belief you have that God exists, it's useless. It's empty words. You must know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. These things are so important that James is raising here. It is not enough to simply believe in God. And verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father, verse 21, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Faith combined, cooperated with his works, and by works, by the things that he did, his faith was made perfect, was made complete and entire. Well, Abraham, the father of faith, how do we know that Abraham had faith? Because of what he did. Because he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar. This was the great evidence of his faith. He believed in God's promise that through Isaac, that great seed will come, that Messiah, that Savior. Abraham believed God that Isaac would be the great seed. So Abraham, when he was asked to offer up Isaac, said to himself, oh, if I have to offer up Isaac, if I have to kill Isaac and offer him up to God, God will surely raise him from the dead. Because God has promised that through Isaac, his seed shall be a blessing to all nations. And God will not lie. If I have been asked to kill Isaac, surely God will raise him from the dead. He had faith in God. Faith. And that was evidenced by what he did. That tremendous act of faith. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The scripture was fulfilled. Abraham's faith was fulfilled. What he did with Isaac, offering up Isaac, that actually fulfilled his faith, completed his faith by his works. And then we go on to the example of Rahab. Down in verse 25, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab the harlot, a prostitute. Oh, well, we need great evidence if a prostitute is going to claim faith in Christ. Rahab turned to God, has faith in God. How do we know? Well, because of what she did. She harbored, hid the Israelite spies, Joshua's spies, kept them from the authorities because she had faith in the God of Israel. She had faith that the God of Israel was the true God, that he would ultimately prevail. How did she have faith? How do we know? Because she hid the spies. It's by her works. This is the great evidence of these things. And so this is so very important. But what these verses actually say to us, these examples of Abraham and Rahab, is that, well, in the life of every true Christian, there will always be one great evidence above everything else, one great evidence that they have faith. One great piece of evidence that every believer holds on to. I know that I have faith in Christ because this happened or that happened. For Abraham, it was the offering up of Isaac. For Rahab, it was the hiding of the spies. What is it for you? Do you have that evidence that your faith is authentic? For some people, it might be that they stopped frequenting worldly places. They stopped going to pubs and arcades. They stopped gambling. They stopped doing the lottery. How do we know they have faith? Because they did those things. Maybe they stopped drinking, stopped smoking, or watching that worldly TV program. How am I going to live without watching this TV program that I've been raised on? Oh, I have faith that if I do this for the Lord will recompense me. And this is the evidence of my faith. I stopped doing that. Do you have something like that in your life that authenticates your faith? What have you done? Have you broken ties with worldly friends because they draw you away from God? Because they're a bad influence upon you? There are some people who have given up their whole careers. They had successful careers in business or whatever it was, but they gave them up because they knew it would take them away from the work of the Lord. That's the great evidence of their faith. Do you have anything like that? You may say that you have faith, but think about it. Do you have anything like that? If you don't have that great piece of evidence, what evidence do you actually have that you are an authentic believer, that you have authentic faith? What evidence do you have in your life that I have given up so much for God? Well, these things we must think about, dear friends. Let's look at the final verse of this chapter as we draw to conclusion. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, I don't need to elaborate on the illustration. It's very clear to us. The body without the spirit is dead. Of course it is. But faith without works is dead also. Faith that is not a product of the Holy Spirit is dead. You can have just faith in your mind, just in your intellect. Yes, you believe that God exists, but you don't have that faith that is born of the Holy Spirit. That faith that comes from on high, that regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Do you have that? If you don't have that, your soul is still dead. You're still spiritually dead. That is what James is insinuating here. You need to come and to petition the Lord that he will give you spiritual life and blessing. Another illustration presents itself to us through that final verse. If you don't have this type of faith, that faith that is evidenced by works, by things that you have done for the Lord, well then you're still under the curse of death. You don't have eternal life. You don't have any hope beyond the grave. How can you hope to have eternal life with dead faith? It's impossible. You have to have that active faith, that faith that has great evidence. So this is very serious. You believe in God? Yes, well done. But do you have that faith that is evidenced by your works? This is such a serious issue for us. If it describes you, well, don't despair. You must come to the Lord. You must ask him to show you Christ. Help me to understand what Christ has done for me. Help me to have a clear hold upon him. I know that he died for me, for my sin. He gave his life, his all for me. Help me to do the same. Help me to have that evidence that my faith is true, authentic. Help me to have that assurance of heaven. Well, this is as far as we will go this evening. But I hope that that has been a challenge to us, and may the Lord help us and leave us not in delusion concerning our state and standing with the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee for these words that challenge us. Lord, we pray that we would accumulate evidence and seek out evidence, greater evidence of our faith, by greater service, by greater commitment to Thee, to Thy word, to Thy church. Help us, O Lord, we pray. And Lord, if there are any here who do not know Thee truly, who do not know Christ, who do not know His love and His grace, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, bless them, dear Lord, that their faith may not be dead, but may pertain to eternal life. O Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.